Nick, when you guys were scouting Julian, obviously you guys knew he'd be kind of a versatile presence, but did you ever anticipate he'd be able to do what he's done over the last couple of weeks on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, you're really not sure what a player can actually do until you actually have him in your program and your system. He was a situation, he hadn't even played receiver. So just from that perspective, just making a move from quarterback to receiver, there's certainly a projection element that's involved. But you know, I think with any player, when they get here, you see what they can handle. Some players handle more than others. You know, I'd say those situations like Julian and like Troy and some of those situations are unique. But and I think you look at your team and you realize that you only have X amount of players that you're going to have available on a week-to-week basis. So you try to do the best you can from a coaching perspective to prepare yourself for a number of different possibilities. You really don't know if and when they may come up, but you know, you try to prepare as best you can, and a lot of that is on the player, spending the time, putting the time in, being diligent with his preparation, and the coaches certainly have to invest a lot of time on their end, you know, especially when you're taking somebody from the offensive side of the ball and spending time with them on defense. So, I mean, there's a lot of work involved from a number of different people, and really until you have a player in your program, regardless of the position, you're really not sure exactly how it's all going to work out. I mean, even Steve Neal, going back to him, I mean, he came in here and he's an offensive lineman, then we moved him to defensive line, then we moved him to offensive line. So, you know, it doesn't happen often, but, I mean, there's situations where guys switch positions or play multiple positions, and whether it's on their own side of the ball, whether it's a corner playing safety or linebacker playing some different type roles, whatever the case may be, but you know, I think it's a work in progress every week, and you just try to do the best you can with the players you have on the roster.
Is it possible, I don't know if you've seen enough of Julian from this point, so is it possible that, you know, maybe he could have been on defense or even should have been on defense all along, or is this something that's an interesting curiosity at this point?
No, I think it's more of a situation of looking at our team and figuring out how to best utilize the personnel that we have, however that unfolds. You know, it's week to week. I mean, really, that's the reality of it.
I was just saying, because he seems to be playing, you know, or he is playing more defense than he has at receiver at times, other than when, say, Wes has been out. I didn't know if that's something you might look at long term.
Right. I think he played like 20 plays on offense the other day. I mean, if I remember correct. So, I mean,
right.
I mean, he's played offensively, you know, throughout the course of the year, and he plays on special teams. He plays in the kicking game. So, I mean, really, the more things that you can do for your team, the more opportunities you're going to have to get on the field. So, I mean, he certainly has a role offensively, and there's situations where he's been used. I mean, man, he's played more on offense than he has at defense, you know, the entire year, unless I missed something.
Nick, thinking back to 2009, what were your thoughts on Painter coming out compared to Hoyer?
Yeah, similar from the standpoint, they were both productive players at their respective schools. You know, speaking specifically to Painter, played in a pass-oriented offense, strong arm, good, productive, accurate with the football, playing against similar types of competition. I mean, the offenses that they played in were a little bit differently. But, you know, both smart guys, both good arms, similar level of competition, similar size-wise, actually, just from overall height perspective. So, and they were experienced players. They were both three-year starters. So, I mean, there were some similarities between those two players, sure.
Nick, as a guy who studies personnel, do you look at the Colts situation and how things have happened when they lost their starting quarterback, and sort of use it as either a cautionary tale or a reminder of, you know, how teams have to be prepared or what can happen in the NFL or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think you look at it. I mean, every team at some point goes through situations where they have to deal with a number of players that they don't have at their disposal. So, you know, you do the best you can to try to make the best decisions that, you feel are best for the team. I mean, there's still a number of good players that they have on the team, and, you know, really outside of two games, you know, really it could – I mean, you watch the Carolina game the other day. I mean, they tip a pass in the two-yard line going in to potentially tie the game. So every team goes through every team is going to lose players at some point. So, you know, I think you have to be prepared every week. You know, and the reality is you got to be prepared for the opponent on Sunday. And, I mean, there's still a lot of good players that they have in that football team. And I would argue that they're probably as good of players at their respective positions than anybody in the league, you know, with guys like Wayne Clark, who's been dinged there, but with Freeney and Mathis, you know, I think, you know, every team's got good football players. Every team's going to lose players, and you just sort of have to deal with it the best you can.
Nick, with Taquan Underwood, Brady mentioned, or yeah, I think it was Brady, you mentioned that the scouting department has sort of been on him for a while. Do you guys sort of, I mean, are there like a handful of guys that you track no matter what that you'll say, like, all right, at this position, if we have a spot, we're going to bring this guy in? Or how does that kind of work, I guess? How do you sort of keep up with a bunch of guys who aren't on rosters like this?
Sure. I think, really, and you take kind of a big picture perspective. You know, every year you go through the draft and you evaluate X amount of players. Some get drafted, some don't get drafted. But then once the draft is over, then everybody is in the league. And I would say the majority of those players, whether they're drafted or undrafted, they're going to end up on an 80-man roster at some point during training camp or what have you, and during the preseason. So, you know, we go through our normal process, and you know, during the preseason, you know, you realize that there's going to be how many, 25 to 30 guys per team, let's just use that number, that are going to be released at some point because they all can't make their team. So, I mean, our pro personnel department, you know, we go through that process during the preseason, and then once the preseason is over, there's X amount of players that are on the street, and there's other players that haven't been with rosters. So, you know, it's a constant process. You go through and some players you may know a little bit better than others because you scouted them heavily in college. Maybe there's some players in college maybe didn't play as much. They come into the league, so you have to do a little more homework on them. So, I mean, it's a process that you go through on a year-to-year, week-to-week, day-to-day basis. And every team has their short list or emergency-type list that they create so that you get in a situation where you have to bring a player onto the roster. You know, there's a pool of players at each position. I would say probably roughly five or six deep that you sort of keep available. You know, it'd be different players that you research during the year, whether it's phone calls, viewing the tape from the preseason, potentially bringing them in for the workout. So, I mean, that kind of all sort of fits together, and you just try to narrow. I mean, the reality is, I mean, you could, that number could get pretty staggering if you allow it to. So you just try to be judicious with that process. And we talk to our scouts, our college scouts, and spend time with our pro scouts, and you know, just try to keep a ready list available like every other team in the league does. And if a situation warrants it, bringing a player in, then you pursue it.
Nick, the Colts just made an announcement that they relieved Larry Poyer, defensive coordinator, of his job, and they assigned Mike Murphy, who I guess is the linebackers coach, to that, you know, as the interim defensive coordinator. Do you know anything, or do you guys know anything, any history of Mike Murphy, and how do you go about studying a team now when they just changed coordinators right before you guys played them?
Sure. You know, I think you look at their body of work here through 11 games and what they've done defensively. You know, Coach Core has been there for a few years now, so systematically they've had some things in place. You know, whether or not there's going to be any drastic changes, really not sure of that. I mean, I think you sort of have to prepare with based on the information that you have to this point, and then once you get into the game, I mean, if there's something that comes up, which inevitably there always is, I mean, a team, we'll go into a game and prepare and say, okay, they're going to play us certain way. Your expectation is they're going to play a certain way. Maybe they come in with a new coverage. You know, it's not drastic, but I think every week teams will make some changes. So, you know, we'll prepare this week with the information that we have and what they've done on tape, and then when we get into the game, we'll kind of see how it unfolds and then go from there.
Nick, you guys are pretty deep right now at wide receiver. Would it be safe to say that, you know, with what you have, there's no interest in any veteran receivers out there, at this time, stick more with the idea of sticking with the depth that you have?
And I think we'll look at everything like we do every week, and, you know, we'll go through the week, go through practice, and if there's a position that a player that warrants us considering, then we'll look at it. So, I mean, this week is really no different than the other week, and, you know, that's how we'll go about it.
Nick, kind of a bit of a historical question, a bit of a background question. When Gronkowski was coming out of Arizona, do you remember what you guys thought about him, and were you surprised that he was there when he was there in the second round?
Yeah, we had a similar question come up last week, kind of along those same lines. But he was a productive player at Arizona when he was on the field his sophomore year. I can't remember exactly the number of balls that he caught, but he was a productive player in their offense. You know, big target, good hands. Some of the things that you see now, I would say, showed up that year as well. And, you know, play a full season, you know, you have to take the information at your disposal about where you think the player is ultimately going to be. And in the end, we took all the information, and we felt confident that he was going to be able to play at a certain level, or at least the level that he showed his sophomore year. And, you know, with the draft, I mean, you guys followed as much as anybody. You really, in the end, you're really not sure how it's going to unfold, and you go through your process. You know, he was a good football player. There's no question about it. You know, and then we had the opportunity to select him. That's what we did.
Take a final question for Nick.
Nick, will it be a quiet Tuesday? You're going to have us working today with some transactions.
Mike, you know there's always a possibility.
Oh.
We don't have anything announced at this point. There could be something later on today or tomorrow, but, I mean, we're still kind of sorting through a number of things here today. So sorry to disappoint you on that front.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.